Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the executioner's cross is a scary place to be. Filled with pain and blood, suffering, groans and cries, and mourning. And it's even scarier when you stop to consider that the one hanging there tonight is the innocent Son of God, who doesn't deserve to be there in the first place. And if the cross isn't scary enough, the words that we hear spoken this evening from the mouth of our Lord, well, they only add a sobering soundtrack to the already frightening scene. I mean, of all the words spoken from Jesus at the cross, these are by far the most terrifying. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, forsaking people is not a character trait that we usually think possible of God. I mean, isn't this the God of all comfort and peace? Isn't this the God who welcomes sinners and eats with them? Isn't this the God who kept his promise to Israel even when they forsook him time and again? Isn't this the God who welcomes children even as his disciples try to keep them away? And yet now this God forsakes his son in what seems to be history's greatest act of cruelty. And just as that idea of a forsaking God starts to sink in, well, then the next thing that hits us is that the complete silence that follows Christ's question. So we have a forsaking God who is also a silent God. I mean, not even the cry of his own son will prompt him to answer the question, why? I mean, there were other times that God would tell his people exactly why he was punishing them. And they didn't even have to ask for it. He simply volunteered his reasons and everybody knew why. And the answer, time and again, boiled down to one thing. Sin. Sin violates God's holy and righteous law, and it cannot go unpunished. So people sin, and God punishes. Such are the strange workings of God's economy. And so there on the cross, Jesus cries out, "My God, why?" And yet, on one hand, the answer is as plain as day. Hanging there like a spectacle for all to see, dying on a tree. It's not the answer that we would want or expect, but it is the only answer that God gives. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The answer to Christ's question is embedded in his own death. Why has God forsaken him? Because Jesus has sin. Your sin and my sin. And it kills him. It kills him. I mean, if there was any question in your mind about what your sin deserves, well, just look at the cross of Jesus, because there you see what it deserves. Not only the death that you deserve, and a painful one at that, no, there you also see the absolute disgust that God has with your sin. He forsakes Christ because the sin that he bears, your sin and mine, cannot stand in the presence of a perfectly holy and righteous God. It's so repulsive to him that he turns his face away in silent judgment and so refuses to answer his own son's question. And it's not like the Father hadn't spoken to Christ before, right? At Christ's baptism, the heavens are opened. And the Father declares about Jesus, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." But now the heavens are closed. His hour has come, darkness engulfs the land, and the voice of the Father is nowhere to be heard. And yet, Notice how the silence of his father does not prompt Christ to sort of take matters into his own hands. He does not get fed up with the situation and heed the cries of the crowd, "If you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross." And remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus declared that if he wanted to, he could ask the Father for 12 legions of angels, something like 70,000 heavenly foot soldiers, to help him in an instant. But now the angels who boldly announced the birth of this Jesus, the angels who ministered to him as he was tempted in the desert, the angel who strengthened him only the night before in the garden as he sweat blood, all of them stand by to watch. Swords sheathed and wings folded, if you will. Utterly unable to help. He could call on them and come down from the cross, but if he did, how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, he says? How would your sins and mine be forgiven? And so Jesus remains on his wooden throne, forsaken by all. Why? You see, the cross of Jesus is a scary place, and these words that he speaks are scary words as they resound in the ears of us sinners who ought to be the ones speaking them. And I suppose that is exactly the point. Therein lies what Isaiah calls the strange and alien work of God. Because in these terrifying words, in this terrifying work, you see the grace and the mercy of God in the very fact that these words are spoken by Christ so that you will never have to speak them. How strange indeed that the Lord of all glory would be crucified for us ungodly and wicked sinners. He is forsaken so that you won't be. He is killed by your sin, so that your sin will not eternally kill you. He drinks the cup of God's wrath straight to the last bloody drop, so that the cup of God's wrath will not be poured out on you. My God, thank you for not forsaking me, a sinner, only on account of Christ. Such is our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.